more trivia, check out Politico. Big week in 2 weeks. We're not on the air next week, but we will be back in two with Lauren Abda from Branch Food, as well as Alan Levinowitz. So big week. We will see you in 2 weeks. Stay tuned for Mike on the Mic next. Have a good one.
It takes a lot to make a stew.
A pinch of salt and laughter too.
A scoop of kids to add the spice.
A dash of love to make it nice. And you've got
too many cooks.
Too many cooks.
Too many cooks.
WMFO, Tufts Freeform Radio, right here in Medford, 9 o'clock on the dot. My name is Mike, and I'm on the mic on Saturday mornings at this time from 9 to 11. And today is no different. Expecting a big show today, actually, around 9:30 or so today. Going to welcome our co-host, Mike Stewart, and also all the way from Sweden. Literally, they just flew in the other day. The band called Stupidity will be here as well. Again, all that starting around 9:30. But until then, I'm going to turn this over to our friend Rick the Robot for a couple of tracks. And the plan is I'll come back and push him out of the way and play a couple, and then we'll be back with Stupidity. Sounds like a plan, doesn't it? All right. It's WMFO right here in Medford.
Perfect little dream, the kind that hurts the most. Forgot how it feels. Well, almost. No one to blame. Always.
Integrity. Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO, Medford.
your mama. Look at that boy boogie. To come out. I felt so good. Went on boogie just the same. Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot you right down off of your feet. Bang, bang, bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you talk. When you walk that walk, and you talk that talk. You knocks me out, out off of my feet. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Ow, 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 ow. Ow, 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 ow. Bang, bang, bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk. I love the way you talk. When you walk that walk and you talk that talk. You knocks me out, out off my feet. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot you right down off of your feet. How, 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 how. We'll be right back.
fed up rehearsing my part. Gonna wing this one right from the heart. The only place to start where I come from. Where I come from. It used to be a border state. Nothing but my own reflection on the dinner plate. Tonight I choose to dine alone. Me and the dog might share a bone. We don't waste a crumb where I come from.
Thank you. searching in an empty heart, trying not to fade away. Don't know where to start.
Dream all day. Thanks a lot.
With a purple umbrella and a 50-cent hand. Live it, love it. She's just a warm up the school lights out in her age Cadillac. Live it, love it. She's just a warm up. Come on, babe, on the roundabout. Rattle the mirror, go round. We all know what the name is, so you better lay your money down.
Good morning, everybody. It's WMFO right here in Medford. It's Mike on the mic here, 9:32 in the morning. And you can probably hear some rustling and some whispering. And that's because we have our guests here in the studio. And we have some technical difficulties, but I shall persevere because that's how I am. We're going to be here till 11 a.m. until something about the women comes in. But until then, we have some special guests in the studio.
Yes, we do.
First of all, I do want to introduce my co-host, my good friend Mike Stewart.
Thank you, Mike.
How are you doing, Mike?
Mike and Mike.
Yeah.
They think alike.
There's a lot of Mikes. Now, we also have all the way from Sweden, and literally, they just flew in like 2 nights ago. I've never had anybody come here from such a far distance to talk to us. This is wonderful. Very excited to talk to you guys. I told you on the way in that we had a couple of technical difficulties, including all the notes that I took to talk to you about. But I do have your biography and all of that. So first of all, let me say hi to all of you. I've been talking to Tommy, who is over there that I can't see. Say hi, Tom. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Just waking up here behind the mic.
Oh, my God. Tell me about it. It must be so difficult for you because you just flew in and you've been doing stuff since you got in here yesterday. And
I think it's mainly the jet lag because you... In for us it's like 6 hours ahead, so we feel that this isn't the afternoon for us. So that's the brain doesn't set really. After it takes like a day or two to get set.
It's got to.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, welcome, Tommy. Nice to see you in person, finally.
Nice to see you, too.
Miss Anne, maybe you could just share that microphone there.
It's hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine.
And actually.
Hey.
Good.
Yeah, how are you doing today? Is the sleep deprivation setting in a little bit?
Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Tired.
You know what? Me too. I have to do this every week. And I'm not a morning person. All right. So one of you is Ernest, and one of you is Pia.
I'm Ernest.
I was going to say, how do you pronounce? How are you doing, Ernest?
It's like Oscar Wilde almost. The importance of being earnest.
Okay. Yeah. Earnesty is a good trait to have.
Yeah.
All right. And don't tell me, you must be PA.
Yeah, I must be.
Yeah. How you doing? You look tired, too.
I'm tired. Always tired.
Always tired, right?
Always tired.
It's an exciting life you guys lead.
Do we?
Yeah. I do. I mean, I have to tell you, I'm really kind of excited about this because I have to admit, I knew that I had heard of you somewhere, and we'll talk about this later, but I used to watch Lilyhammer.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew that I knew of you, and I was telling Mike the other day that I have a long commute to work, and I was listening to your stuff on my commute, and I had such a good time. I just had such a good time, so this is going to be excellent. My first question I was going to ask you, I no longer have to anymore. The name of the band is an interesting one, and I said to myself, how in the world? But there was a song that you guys all have in common by a gentleman named Solomon Burke.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play that track, but tell us a little bit about Solomon and how's that? That's a common theme between you guys, and this became your band name.
I think it was the first song we started to rehearse about 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing is when I met Ernest, because he used to play with Tommy 30 years ago in an old band, and I ran into him in the supermarket, and we said, let's do something, you know, because we had just sort of put our old band on the shelf for the future, and I ran into him, just, what should we play? We tried to start rehearsing, what should we play? Let's do Stupidity.
Okay.
And then I think we went to a show in Stockholm. I think it was the Inmates playing in the club, and it's an English band, Inmates.
Okay.
And we're talking about, you know, and somebody went up to us and said, I heard you're going to form a new band. Yeah, what's going to be the name? And I said, Stupidity. That's pure stupidity.
Okay.
Things like that. And for some reason, because the Inmates were pub rock, Dr. Feelgood was pub rock, and they had a record called Stupidity. And people told us that it was pure stupidity to form a new rowdy, punkish garage band at the age of 50. So it was like, yeah, it's a good name.
Hey, well, I'm in your age bracket as well.
Yeah, you're not.
You know, I am.
No, you're not.
I know. Well, I act like I'm three, but I am. I'm 53 years old.
Oh, so you're a baby. You're young. A baby.
Oh yeah, you guys don't look that old.
I'm 16 October.
All right. Well, listen, this song by Mr. Solomon Burke is not, you know, in that style of music at all, but it's just a favorite of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good song.
All right, it's a short track. Let's just play that for everybody. We'll come back afterwards and start talking about the albums when we come back here at WMFO.
Hey, everybody.
Everybody.
All around the world. She says it's silly. My papa says you look like a fool. But baby, I don't mind criticism, because we're doing it every day in school. Come along with me, see how much fun it can be.
Hi there, it's WMFO. Mike on the mic, back with the other Mike, Mike Stewart. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
And we have the band Stupidity. Please understand, I lost all of my notes. We have Ernest.
Like Ernest.
Like Ernest.
Yeah.
All right. Lead vocals. That's you. Very nice. We have PA.
Yeah.
Also, either Telecaster and vocals.
Yeah.
Miss Anna says Gibson Flying V-Bass.
Of course.
Of course. What else? What else would you do? Is it Tommy or Tommy Boy? How should I refer to you?
Tommy, it's my name, but Tommy Boy is my artist name. So I can call me Tommy. That's okay. I play the drums.
This is so weird because I got a monitor between us. I can't even see you. Yeah. It's so weird.
Maybe all right, it's a good thing.
Your words, not mine, man.
Actually, shift everybody slightly.
Yeah,
this yeah, way. And then maybe I can
move a little.
There you go. I can see you. All right, so we talked about how you got the name Stupidity from that great Solomon Burke song. So let me talk about a little bit of stuff from the bio that you told me about. You started, really, you met way back in 2006, and you also, you know, started to play your first gig that year. But tell me about the circumstances that led to you guys meeting.
Yeah, that's what, like PA told you, we met in a store. But Tommy and I was playing together in the early 80s in another band called The Pippets.
Right.
We shared rehearsal room. We had another band, Anna and me had another band, and they split up, and we actually did an English tour with the first band, with the old band, and our drummer gave up because we came back with £1.49 from that tour. We had no money. We were living on a 2 pounds of oranges and a loaf of bread.
Oh, yeah.
Lost 24 hours on the way back. And that drummer we had gave up. And we called Tommy because he was, you know, sort of helping us, managing us a little bit, sort of.
Okay.
And we have no drummer. Well, I started playing with you, and that was in 87. And he's been with us since then. And, you know.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it was like...
Okay, so then the story continues for you guys. Yeah. You started recording into 2006, 2007, started to record a couple songs, and I guess you just started to do that song Stupidity, just like you said in the practice. And then as we got into spring and getting into summer of 2007, you started doing some more recordings, and your first album came to be called I Need You Like a Hole in My Head.
It was a bit of an accident because what we were supposed to do was to make a demo tape. And we made a demo tape. We had recorded 4 or 6 songs, what it was. And we just wrote songs as we recorded. And suddenly we had a full album, and which is kind of weird. And MySpace was getting really big at the time. MySpace was sort of a new punk wave. It was really putting the pants down on the big record companies. And that was made things going for us, MySpace.
And that was where we started to...
Everybody did, yeah. That was huge.
Yeah.
It's funny how these things happen and die and then lead to something else.
And that's how we got in touch with Andrea Gillis from Boston.
Oh, really?
That's why we came here for 8 years, 10 years ago or something like that.
It was an interesting thing that happened on MySpace that's been, maybe the most important thing for us. That was a very annoying person emailing me 3-4 times and say, I want your album, I'm a DJ, send me your album. And that's the common thing on MySpace. People said they were DJs because getting free albums is nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But after like 3-4 times, okay, I send you the albums, where do you live? I'm in New Jersey and I'm a DJ. And then he got back to me and said, I'm a DJ at WFMU in New Jersey. I'm also DJ on Little Steven's Underground Garage. I said, why didn't you say that in the first place? Just annoying me. But then he said that, I gave Little Steven this album and he really likes it. So you're going to have like 3 songs in rotation the next couple of months here. And he said, name me the songs. I said, okay. And Little Steven is going to get in touch with you. He want to do an interview.
Right.
Was that Bill Kelly from Teenage Wasteland?
Yeah, that's Bill Kelly, yeah.
Great guy. He plays the Brigands, too.
Yeah. So it was a couple of days later, the telephone was ringing from Sweden's biggest newspaper. Said, we want an interview with you tomorrow, and I want pictures. You're going to have 2 pages in Aftonbladet in this paper. And Little Steven is writing about you. You're the coolest song of the world on his show this week. And I was then folding jumpers in the laundry.
Jumpers? Okay. Please explain that. What's jumpers?
What is folding?
Shirts.
Sweaters.
Oh, okay.
So it was a very weird situation getting that call, and suddenly you're going to be 2 pages in a big newspaper in Sweden, and you haven't even thought about this. It was like crazy.
And that was only the start of your interaction with Little Steven and the coolest songs in the world. Mm-hmm. You got 5 of them that he named, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start by talking.
I can tell another funny story. So Bruce Springsteen was coming to Sweden, to Stockholm, to play.
Yeah.
And I was working in Old Town Stockholm as a sports fishing product manager. It's kind of funny. And suddenly my mobile rings, and hello, and my name is this and that, and I'm little Steven's secretary. Oh yeah, you are. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
Yeah. And you want to go to the Springsteen show? And I said, yeah, fine, okay. And who want to go? And I had to figure out 10 names. I took the band names and girlfriends or whatever, and just, you know, suddenly we're a VIP guest on Bruce Springsteen, standing, you know, in front of the station and having a beer. And I was, what is happening here? And it's like,
it must be so surreal.
Yeah. Really weird.
No, all right, so before we go on talking about the first record, I want to remind people that you guys are playing tonight with our lovely friend Andrea Gillis tonight at Store 54 in Austin, 9 p.m. sharp. Now, do you guys go on at 9? But when it opens at 9 p.m. You're probably later.
I think it opens, was it 8:30 or 9? But we go on stage 10,
okay.
In fact. So and Andrea Gillis go on stage like 11:15 or something.
Gotcha.
So I think it's pretty late. It's open to 1 or 2 o'clock, I think.
Okay, yeah, I think so. Yeah. And for everybody that sees the Facebook post that I did put a link to that event, mm-hmm. so that people can go through and buy tickets and join and whatever.
Good,
and I will tell you, after everybody listening, after we play some of these songs from Stupidity, I hope you're in a place where you can turn this up loud. This is so much fun, and you're going to want to go see these guys. So, talking about your music, and we started talking about the first record, what I'd like to do is not pick on, but pick one of you each to sort of pick a song from one of these records, and then sort of let's talk about the favorites, the influences that you sent to me. So we're on the first record at the moment with that awesome title. You know, so who wants to talk about that first record and maybe tell me a song you'd like to play, and I'll frantically cue them up from the ones that you told me were influences of yours.
Well, the first hit was A Girl Named Mo, which is actually a demo version. It's still a demo version, but it was our first sort of hit. And we never re-recorded it or anything. We left it as it was, you know, as a demo. So that was the first coolest song in the world.
August. Okay.
2007.
So I think that'd be a good one for me to queue up here. I'm going to do that. Yeah. Excuse me while I deal with my silly little problems with this. So, and what were some of the influences that you told me about? And we'll play that right afterwards. What would you like to play for that?
I don't think we have any influences.
Well, just you personally, bands that.
Yeah,
well, or songs that
I
made
can
you
tell
just.
You, when I was 10 years old, but the thing is, when I was young, I was born in 1956, and it was like the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, you know, like Elvis and Tommy Steele or whatever, you know. You had to. And I never liked. I liked Stones, sort of liked Stones, but I was more into Kinks and Small Faces. And then The Who came.
Oh, yeah.
And they were playing on the Swedish TV show. And I was 10 years old, and the thing, when I saw The Who, it wasn't the music, it was more the attitude of the band I really loved, you know, because my father came in swearing, and I said, what the, etc. is
yeah.
this? I said, yeah, it's my music. And it was mainly, and I love Pete Townsend's guitar playing, because he plays the banjo on the guitar.
And it's not only that, from an audio point of view with Pete Townsend, of course, his performance just set the standard for
exactly
being able to just like have that swag and the swinging arm, just everybody wanted to do that.
Yeah, and you had Keith Moon on drums, and it was spectacular. I mean, it was like, before that, bands were just standing straight up and down, just playing, you know, and they did something on stage.
The attitude did.
It was like, a punk attitude at the time.
And they really projected.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll tell you what, why don't we play that first coolest song in the world, Girl Named Mo, and while that's playing, we'll figure out a song to play, maybe by The Who, to follow that up?
Yeah, we could do that.
All right.
We shouldn't forget Screaming Blue Messiah, one of my favorite bands.
Well, that's what I meant. We could do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. You're the Bill Carter is not a maniac.
We could even do both of them.
Yeah, we should.
All right, well, let's start with Girl Named Mo. This is, for those of you that haven't heard Stupidity, turn it up. You're going to love it. This is WMFO, Girl Named Mo.
Better call it quits before I lose. not true.
WMFO, we are back. Had a couple of tracks there. One was the first coolest song in the world from Little Steven from Stupidity's record, I Need You Like a Hole in My Head. Girl Named Mo. That was just terrific, guys. And then your request by The Who, one that I'm really not that familiar with. I haven't listened to that album in a long time. It was nice to hear It's Not True. And you were saying something about the way that The Who were the first to make the bass a prominent.
Yeah, because they were only like a three-piece band, and normally you had a bass player. It was doom, doom, doom.
Oh, yeah,
doom,
just,
the, you know, the bass.
Walking
stuff.
Along, yeah.
And then the vocals was the main thing in a band, you know. But The Who, they sort of... I saw this interview with Pete Townsend, and he explained how they had to have... a bass player like John Entwistle that could actually be more than one than just the bass. It needed to be like several instruments in one instrument because they were only like a three piece.
Yeah.
And they had a drummer who was all over. It would actually was he played. If you listen to Keith Moon, he follows the vocals when he plays, and the vocals are quiet. Then he plays drums and some fills. But if you listen to the way he drums, it's amazing. And then Pete Townsend, he didn't have to do much more than just smashing the guitar up, basically.
And didn't he?
Yeah.
There's nothing like a three-piece that just makes the most of it. It sounds like they're bigger than they are.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. We had a band around here that was like that. I forget who it is. I'll think of it afterwards. Huh?
We had plenty of bands.
That I remember always saying that was a three-piece. It was just so much more.
Okay.
Can't remember who it was. I'll remember it.
There are a few bands who can do that. I mean, like Scream Blue Messiah, Bill Carter is another band who can do that. They use delay effects and stuff to get this big sound. And also U2, I mean, they're only three-piece. But they also use
and self-taught.
Effects. Yeah, it's amazing, you know.
Sort of invented a genre just the way that they sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know?
Amazing. All right, so you guys had a next record that came out in the year 2009, and it was called A Legal U-Turn. Was that something, a practice that you like to do in real life, so you figured you'd call the record that?
No.
We were driving out of Manhattan
in
the car with the GPS, and the GPS always said, make a legal U-turn, and
as opposed to
we heard make illegal U-turn uh-huh. on the freeway. Nah, I don't think so.
It's a friggin' great story. Yeah.
So it was a little bit wrong hearing, but so we thought she said make illegal U-turn. So that's when we said next record's gonna get the name Illegal U-Turn.
And did that album title that you came about have any influence on the way that you went about recording the songs on the record, or did it have nothing to do with it and you just...
Nah. I just a funny thing, actually. So I think that the songs are more... Yeah, a little more...
The sound is a little bit different because we used our microphones instead, more like the old school, you know, instead of putting mics on all the instruments, all the drums and everything.
Which you did on the first record?
Yeah. So it's a little bit different sound. It sounds not as, maybe not as rough, but, you know, it's we just tried it.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine you want to try to make some progress with each record. So did you feel? Not really.
No, we just do what we do.
Ah. So how do you feel about Illegal Note U-Turn as opposed to your first record? Did you?
We like the songs. The songs are great. Sometimes I feel that we should have had a little bit tougher sound, but you know, it's fine. The songs are good.
Yeah.
We forgot most of them. So I was actually listening to some of our records the other day. I listened. What song is this?
Oh, come on!
When did we record this? Did we ever do this? I can't remember.
So then what?
It's
what
getting old.
So then what is your set comprised of? I mean, is it mostly new music that you'll play tonight?
It's a little bit of a mix of everything.
Yeah,
and some old, some new.
Will you be up there after a couple of drinks and you
something
won't know what you're playing anymore?
Nah.
No. All right, so Ernest, let's put you on the spot a little bit.
Or maybe Tommy.
I can help you pass the buck. I'm happy to do that.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy boy, it's you and me.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So your thoughts on this record, and maybe you can pick something from this record or any of your catalog, and then we'll also talk about your influences and pick something that you wanted to play.
Yeah. The song I want to pick from this album, which I like, and we still play. We're gonna probably play it tonight, I guess. It's called City Boy.
Yeah,
that's
heard that
song.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's got some Who influences on that song, and it's also, you know, it's fun to play live. Lots of drums, I like that. So I think that's one of the songs that still stand out, I think, on the album. That's like three or four songs which could have been singles. We didn't release any singles from this album. So this
none
is
at all.
No. So I think it was a bit, you know, when we made it too, we wrote the songs quite fast. We didn't have that much time. We like wanted a new album. We had to get a new album out, so we didn't stress it, but we tried to make it, you know, some progress.
And we changed a lot when we had to go back and rehearse and change some of the songs.